Remember that we've got them outnumbered. Would you open your Bibles tonight to 2 Kings chapter 6? Second Kings chapter 6. Would you pray with me, please? Our dear Heavenly Father, again we come and we thank you for the opportunity, the privilege that we have to meet here on the Lord's Day evening. We open our Bibles, open our hearts, and guide us, Lord, in the truth. Help us to walk therein. And Lord, while we do so, help us to remember that you're coming. May that truth, confirmed over and over to us, bring about not only an excitement, but there might be incitement to holiness, purity of life. Lord, that we might be salt and light wherever we go, every day that we live. Help us, Lord, to be useful in your hand. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha and his servant are sought after, and now they are surrounded, according to verse 14. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots, and his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Last week we looked at the picture of being squeezed in the Scripture. And while in this particular instance and similar instances, the future might not look so bright for us, and we may begin to feel the pressure of different things occurring in our life, we are reminded here, may it echo over and over in your heart and mind, fear not. We looked at the problem last week, and essentially it was this, that we always dig a hole for when our surmisings conflict with the Scriptures. And of course, we had you think about David. And he was basically getting squeezed by his own brain run amok. He believed that he was going to be imminently killed by his pursuer, King Saul. He forgot one thing. God had a plan that he should be a king in Israel. Now, we also looked at the squeeze, that it can come from various sources. And we gave you three of them last week. The Sodomite squeeze, there in Genesis chapter 19, they pressed on Lot and his household daily. A great pressure there. We also looked into Judges chapter 16, where we see Samson get Simonized. He literally got waxed. Okay? Lots of pressure there. She pressed on his soul daily. She grieved him. And then there was scheming Absalom. And there, with regard to his request, with revenge underlying his request to his father, he pressed his father over and over again to try to manipulate circumstances so that he could essentially exact revenge on him for the rape of Tamar. Now, tonight we think about the panic. And in our text here, we see the fourth essential squeeze, the Syrian squeeze, in verses 8 through 13. Verses 8 through 13. The king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such a place shall be my camp. The man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. So here we have a place where the Syrians seek to ambush by encampment. And over again, word is sent to Israel of their location. And the king of Syria is puzzled by that. He finds out it's Elisha, and he sends someone to get him. The Syrians put a squeeze on. Now, the servant panics in verse number 15. The word alas, not a word we use. I don't think I've ever heard anybody in here use it when they are shrieking about with terror. But he says, alas, my master, how shall we do? It's the same word, actually, is over in the fifth verse when a borrowed axe head went into the drink. Verse 5, as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it is borrowed. The man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. He cut down a stick, cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Remember, now that's your God. That's your God. When life gets kind of oozy and squeezy and there's a tendency to panic, remember, your God's the God who took that metal. Not only did he bring it to the surface of water again, but the text says it swam. It moved in the water. It's also this panic that it was uttered by Joshua after the crushing defeat in Ai. When he was speaking to the Lord, he says, alas, panic. Well, now, fear not. Remember this, we've got them outnumbered. And I say that with this comment. I think back to some of the words and the circumstances that Mike Wingfield had in his last month's newsletter. And he pointed out this very, very true statement of how dependent you and I are on certain aspects of this world system, totally dependent on it. And in as much as we are dependent on that, there are certain supposed consequences in the event of sudden collapse of that world system. For example, we all depend on electricity. We all depend on electricity to light and to heat our homes, to refrigerate, to communicate. Computers require it. We medicate, use life support systems that are driven by electricity, surgical and diagnostic apparatus. We use fuel to transport. All that requires electricity to get it out of the ground. Fuel to transport the family, food supplies. And I was talking to somebody a few days ago when they were remarking about the farmers in our area today are being paid for their milk at 1950 prices. At 1950 prices. Now the notion that, well, that's good for the consumer. Well, it may be, but you know, if the farmer can't make it go on 1950 prices, he's only got one option or two. Neither of them good, and one of them is either to cut back or go out of business. Which means that if that continues for a very long period of time, that there's one area food source that will eventually literally dry up. Should that happen suddenly, and of course such will be the case when the tribulation judgments break out on earth. And remember this great promise, and we're solid believers on this truth, that the church will escape the wrath to come. There's no doubt about that. But Mike pointed out in his last month's newsletter, and I tend to see his point, that there may be a small gap of time between the collapse of the world system and the beginning of the rapture, which means that could amount to days, weeks, or months before the rapture occurs, when you and I, who are totally dependent on this world system, will have everything cut out or cut away from us. You know, we understand that the state of California, that's always in the news, it's currently in a state of drought. Has been. And understand that half the United States fruit and vegetables are grown in California. Half of them. Used to be able to go into the grocery store, either at Foodland or at Chop and Save, and find somewhere along the line, in one of those bins, bags of vegetables, frozen vegetables, for $1 a bag. Have you priced vegetables lately in any particular store? You know, we're talking $2, $2.50. Maybe you get some specials for $1 nowadays, but you don't get anything but the corn and the peas and like that, which is okay, but things are beginning to spike. And while there's the drought, the economic collapse or the crisis that we have, the credit crisis may stifle commercial farmers, as I understand. Their spring planting is coming up. If they can't get money, they don't have a credit line extended to them. There may be food shortages down the road, and food prices spiking. And of course, that's already occurring. Now, when somebody looks around, they put that all together, they may tend to panic. May tend to panic about the possibility of catastrophe. But remember, the point from last week is that we don't make a problem until we have a problem. And so the counsel is fear not, because we got them always outnumbered. Always outnumbered. And so if you tend to be fearful, just don't be. Martin Luther once said that even if I knew that tomorrow the whole world would go to pieces, I would still plant my apple tree today. Now, that's good optimism. Still plant my apple tree today. Likewise, we ought always to come back to the Word and through the Word view the world. And the truth is that my times, your times, are in the hands of the Lord. So this truth will underscore the right perspective. And we come back to our text, 2 Kings 6:16. He says, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Now, are you getting squeezed? The counsel is fear not. Now, I want you to remember this, too. Not only do we see here the Syrian squeeze, but remember there was a time in the life of Christ where Satan put the squeeze on. Satan put the squeeze on. You saw evidence of that recorded in Matthew chapter 4 with the pressure on the Lord. You see it again at the end of his public ministry as he approaches Calvary. And in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 53, there, as Calvary is right there in the backdrop, we find this statement. And this is a tremendous thing to think about. He said, my father, with everything squeezing in around him, all the people hurling insults at him and jeers and injuring and wounding and delighting in his imminent design, he says this: "My father, the father would give more than 12 legions of angels if I called." 12 legions of angels. 6,000 per, plus the cavalry. You could send all of that. We've got them outnumbered. When Satan applied the squeeze to the Savior, the Lord knew that in spite of the odds, the numerical odds against him there, he could have extracted himself from that dire situation, but he didn't. He didn't do that. As a matter of fact, when Pharaoh squeezed Moses and the people of Israel, those words in Exodus 14 and verse 13 still ring. You might want to see that in Exodus 14 for a minute. And certainly the people of Israel were being squeezed against the water. And you see over, if you go from the first verse the whole way over to verse 13, Moses said to the people, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Fear not. They're being squeezed. Can't turn around. Can't go left and they can't go right. Pharaoh and his army are putting the pressure on them. They want to take them back to Egypt. They want to take them back. But God is up to that. And you know as well as I do that God parted the waters. Israel was transported over there. And there's some counsel in the Psalms with regard to this matter of fear when overwhelmed by all the pressures. I want you to see in Psalms 3:6. Just note the numbers here. Psalm 3. Please notice his words in the first verse. "Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there's no help." But then down in the sixth verse, "I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about." Why is that? "Well, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill." I will not be afraid of 10,000. Matter of fact, over in Psalm 27 and 3, something similar again. The first verse in Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell." Then he says, verse 3, "Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." Now understand, at the end of the road, my friends, however it may end for you personally, or for me, for this church, at the end of the road, at the end of the road is the Lord, the house of the Lord, our dwelling place in eternity. No matter what else happens, no matter how we get there at the end, we have this confidence that there is the presence of the Lord. "In time of trouble, he will hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle. He shall hide me and he shall set me upon a rock. Fear not. Fear not. The Lord of hosts is with us," over in Psalm 46. And verse number 7. "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Be still and know that I am God. Fear not." So you have certain pressures that come and go. The Syrians were applying the squeeze. Satan applies the squeeze. We see over and over again that when Pharaoh attempted to put the squeeze on Israel, we see the psalmist over and over recount his own personal confidences that he would not be afraid of 10,000s that would encamp around about him. So remember, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Go back to 2 Kings just a minute again. God handles the Syrian squeeze here. And he prayed, 2 Kings 6:17. "Because all that the servant could see was that they were surrounded." That's all he can see. In the pressure of the moment, that's all he sees. And as you and I live in this particular day, all we may be able to really see are all the potentials and the possibilities that paint a very bleak picture for us. But Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes. Open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, "Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness." And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Interesting, is it not, that until God opens the eyes of any person, he cannot see spiritually. We would pray, I would pray for you and you for me, that God would always keep our vision clear as to spiritual realities, so that we need not fear, even though the pressures may mount. I want you to also think about something else, that they that be with us are more than they that be with him, is what Elisha said to a servant. Now, how may we take that truth and push it over into where you and I live? They that be with them are more. They and more. Two words. May I suggest to you, they transcends even the marvelous spectacle of all of the horses and chariots of fire. When you apply New Testament truth to this, may I suggest to you that there is an exact implication of the ministry of the Holy Trinity on your behalf. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. They being God. God, the one triune God. May I have you go to the New Testament for a couple of references here. In Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I hope that you're not sitting here tonight with any doubt in your mind, with any doubt whatever in your mind about whose side God's on. I hope that's all cleared up for you. If God be for us, who can be against us? And then in 1 John chapter 4, here's a good memory verse. You might want to put this on a 3x5 card, put it on your refrigerator. 1 John chapter 4. And remember that you have received the Spirit. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You know, somebody said, one with God is a majority. One with God is a majority. Well, now think about this. That may not be exactly the case, and really provides hollow comfort. Do you realize that God doesn't need anybody else? That all alone, God is more than sufficient? He doesn't need me, and He doesn't need you. And greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And if God is for us, who can stand against us? The truth of the matter is nobody. And so while we may be facing a future that does not look all that promising in the immediate, we can see down the end of the road. We see down at the end of the road. You've received the Spirit. So if you're getting squeezed, three things remember. Three things to remember. Quickly. God, first of all, is our strength. God is our strength. May I have you look at a reference? 2 Samuel 22. Verse 33. Getting squeezed, God is our strength. God is my strength and power, verse 33. And He maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. When we think about the word strength here, it is a word that means literally a fortified place. A fortified place. God is my fortress. He's also my security. My refuge. Would you look in Psalm 46 again? We've looked at that. Psalm 46. And verse number 7. We've just read this. In Psalm 46, verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. That word speaks about a high cliff, so high that it's inaccessible. Inaccessible. So on the one hand, God is our strength. He is our fortress. He is our, as in this case, our inaccessible cliff refuge. No one can approach from any direction to assault us. God is our security. And then we come to the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. God is our sufficiency. He is our sufficiency. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Three things to remember when under the pressure and you're getting squeezed. And remember this, in John chapter 15, He that abideth in me, the same bringeth forth much fruit. By the grace of God, I am what I am, Paul said. And it is also true, it is God which worketh in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. His good pleasure. Now, are you getting squeezed? Counsel is found in conclusion in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. The section on the armor begins at verse 10. We are not sufficient in of ourselves to face anything by way of the pressure that is about to come. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Someone said and wrote this in a little poem, that unless there is within us that which is above us, namely the Lord, we shall soon yield to that which is about us. Now, if the future is looking dim and you're getting squeezed and you're beginning to feel the pressure, let me leave you with this thought penned by John Newman. Now, listen very carefully. You and I know the last chapter of the book, and we know where at the end of our time where things go. He says, our cares we can cast on Thee, for Thou carest for us. How can we be troubled about the future road since it belongs to Thee? How can we be troubled where it leads, since it finally but leads us unto Thee? Now that's where the end of the road leads. Getting there may be a little rugged, but we know where the road leads. Getting squeezed? Fear not. There are more with us than with them. We've always got them outnumbered. Greater is He that is within us than he that's within the world. Who can stand in the presence of the omnipotent triune God who loves you? Would you pray with me? Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank You and we praise You for Your goodness, for the reassurances of the Word. We look about us, dear Heavenly Father, and so many things happening so quickly, very confusing. Everybody seems to have an opinion. Everybody seems to point a finger. And yet, Lord, help us to remember that we are not to become entangled with the affairs of this life, but to simply stand our ground, and not that in the flesh, but in the power of the Lord. And bless that effort, every effort, by each of the people of God, as we seek to do that for Jesus' sake. We ask in His name. Amen.